from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 288. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. I'll be joined momentarily by my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong. The big game is over, the Super Bowl. We have a Super Bowl champion. The Kansas City Chiefs have won back-to-back Super Bowl titles, three in the last 5 years. The dynasty has begun, but we've got the big game. It's over. A lot of recap with me and Jonathan tonight on that. This evening we're going to talk that. We've got a little off-season NFL news. Just off-season is officially under the way. And in the 2 weeks from now, we'll have the NFL Combine right here in Indianapolis. So we'll talk a little bit about the off-season with the NFL. Myself and Jonathan also give an NBA update, Pacers update, where we are sitting with Indiana. We've got one game left before the All-Star break. And also the NBA All-Star weekend is here in Indianapolis this week. The city has been dressing up over the weekend, getting everything ready. So we are looking forward to NBA All-Star weekend. Festivities will get underway Thursday night downtown at the Bicentennial Plaza with the tip-off there. And then a lot of things going on at the convention center and stuff. So we'll hit that stuff and more. We've also got a couple quick hitters. We and Jonathan a little bit talked Purdue and IU from the weekend on Sunday. So we'll just we'll clean that up, and then as well as talk a little bit. There's some talk about the March Madness tournament, so we'll hit that a little bit. Could the Madness tournament be changing a little bit? But can't start the show without my co-host Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you? I just gave the rundown. I'll ask how you are, and then you can give us our special our special segment we have tonight with a nice interview.
Oh, look, absolutely, man. Yeah, man. Yeah. So we got a great recap of Super Bowl and the All-Star game and whatnot. But, yeah, we have one of the – so Eva Hallman, she's the host of the Butler Dogcast, which is I know it's all about Butler. Everybody who's Googling right now is like, what's the Butler Dogcast? It's a show that she hosts. It's a student-run show. Run by Butler University. She's going to come on to Crossroads Sports, kind of talk about what they do. They talk more than just sports on the Butler Dogcast, but they talk about everything from talking to the president of the university to like events and whatnot to kind of come around to Butler. But I invite her onto the show because she's one of the up and coming voices that everybody's going to see, I do believe, at some point. Are here and see and hear, right? Faces and voices that they're going to see and hear as it pertains to, cause she does have a passion for covering sports and all that as well. And we're going to get into that as she's right now. She's also interning for the Indy Fuel, so we're going to get some lowdown on how all that looks like. I know everybody listens to our show is like, no, we really talk a whole lot of NBA and NFL and college sports. Very rarely do we talk anything Indy Fuel. So she's going to give us a little bit of lowdown on many of the hats that she wears, from being a host of the Butler Dogcast to being around and being actively involved with the Indy Fuel. Like I said, she's anchored TV shows. She's got her own YouTube channel and all those things, man. Like I said, it's gonna be good to kind of like chop it up with her and like learn, what a day in life for her looks like, and what it looks like, around those two prestigious organizations, whether it be Butler Athletics or Indy Fuel, man. Like I said, at 7:30, I'm gonna give her a great introduction, and she's gonna sit here and talk with like me and Brandon, we got her two uncles or something. I don't know, but I kind of teased her about it, man. Because she is a youngster, and y'all know me and Brandon are kind of old geezers or whatnot. I'm like, man, it's gonna be a great show. A great segment with her, and like I said, man, I can't wait till she calls in.
Perfect. John, let's dive right in. Let's be out to recap the Super Bowl. Chiefs win back-to-back Super Bowl titles. It's their third one in the last 5 years. Patty Mahomes has sealed it as future Hall of Famer, as if it needed to be sealed. But Mahomes, leads the team in overtime. A lot of people not knowing the rules with overtime, kind of me included on the time, like still don't understand why there was a clock. If both teams get a possession no matter what, then what the hell is the purpose of a clock, right? I don't understand that. And the people I was with, I was yelling, what the hell do we have a clock for? Like, is it over if it runs zeros? Like, nobody knew. And then Romo finally said something, like, with a minute and 2 minutes to go, about just basically ends the quarter and it starts another quarter, which I bet you next year that clock, if they would have another overtime in the Super Bowl again, that clock would not won't exist. There's no reason for it, like college. You have a possession, you have your play clock, that's all you need. You don't need a actual clock. It made no sense that the NFL had it.
Well, doesn't it go? I thought if, let's say, Kansas City went down there and scored a three, I think when it comes over overtime, but I see what you're saying, though, Brandon, because it doesn't matter. Once it becomes over overtime, then it does go back to the old NFL rules where whoever the first to score wins. Now, for a fan to say that, or even for us Crossroads Sports podcast, to say that we don't know it, but, like, you know, there was a heavy speculation that some of the players on the field, particularly San Francisco 49ers, didn't know, and that is a little bit concerning. A lot concerning, actually.
The fact that you would rule going in, and I think Shanahan, you know, Shanahan came back today and said, well, we had this plan before the playoffs started that if it ever went to overtime, this is what we do. But, no, flat out, you chose wrong. You want to play defense first. It's just like the college thing on overtime. You want to play defense, and they fucked up. They'd say it. They did.
Well,
and it cost them another tight championship.
I think they messed up. I just think he misjudged the ability of Patrick Mahomes. We all know.
He didn't misjudge, John. He knows. He's lost the Super Bowl already to him. He knows what to expect, Patrick Mahomes. Everybody does.
Oh,
he screwed up. They screwed up, plain and simple.
Do you fire?
No, not yet.
Because that was kind of like the temperature I kind of got, like, you know, the media people talking about, well, this is embarrassing, this is this, that, and other. And I guess maybe I shouldn't tap into those particular media folks, right? But I think we're not giving the, you know what I'm saying, the defense enough credit. They're unheard of it, right? And we all think Patrick Mahomes is that special, then, you know. But, like, I don't know, Brandon. When I watched the game, the feel of the game, like, San Francisco felt that they had control of the game. Their defensive line was pushing. Their defensive line was pushing. The offense, pushing them back. Were they getting enough pressure on Patrick Mahomes? They registered. I thought they registered two sacks in the first half. I think from a game plan, like, San Francisco got away from running the ball in the second half, but Deebo Samuels was in and out of the lineup dealing with an injury. So in those regards, I think that's what kind of doomed somewhat of San Francisco's evening. But other than that, man, Patrick Mahomes is like, you can't leave. That's what I would say. That's what I was going to say. And I put a butt in it. Right. I think when Cincinnati beat Kansas City, what was it, 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, whatever it was. Right. They knew in that game go 3 for 7. Like, you know what I'm saying, we're not going to score 3 and let you score 7. Or we're going to put pressure. And that's what you have to do. You have to put up 7. You can't just be like, okay, we're just going to trade field goals or whatnot, because too many other things are going to happen in the game. You know what I'm saying? Did San Francisco have special team errors? Yes. Did Kansas City have special team errors and fumbles? Yes. So some of those things are going to happen. You don't know when they're going to happen, but – When you have the ability to score and get in the red zone, you're facing Patrick Mahomes or the team, you got to know that you got to get 7 and not come out with 3. Outside of that, man, I think, you know what I'm saying, there's no other game plan that the 49ers could go with. And, you know what I'm saying, whether people want to question, you know what I'm saying, Shanahan, you know what I'm saying, they didn't know it or whatnot, like, that remains to be seen, spilled milk. But, I you tip your hat to Kansas City, I don't put too much bashing on the 49ers, man. Somebody got to win a game, man, and they just wasn't ready, you know what I'm saying, to win it this year.
There was a lot of bashing I saw with Brock Purdy, but I believe, John, anytime he stepped off the field, they were either tied or in the lead. He never costed his team points. Gaffrey fumbles first possession, but Purdy, I thought, played a serviceable game overall. And right. he did what he, you know, he got his team down the field. But yeah, if you didn't think that Patty Mahomes them had a shot there, John, I won extra money during the game. I took the Chiefs at halftime again. I took the Chiefs after the 49ers scored the field goal. And with like 10 minutes to go in the game at with the party we were at, I took, will the game go to overtime? That was plus 700. That was, so that was easy there. Like this game's definitely going to overtime the way it's going back and forth.
Right.
But yeah, it was a good game overall, John. It was the most watched TV program ever. 202.4 million people watched at least part of the game across all the networks. It was a 10% jump over last year's Super Bowl of 186 million. There also was 186 million that was bet on the Super Bowl with Nevada sports books over the past week. So there, that was good. We got Reg on hold. We'll take him momentarily. We got a couple minutes. We can take him. But thoughts on Usher's halftime?
Man, people too hard on artists sometimes. I don't think Usher had enough time. Like, Usher's very, very popular, man, and a lot of people thought that he should have, you know, sang different songs or sang more songs. I thought Usher did a, you know what I'm saying, if we had to put a grade on it, I'd give it a B+, A-, and that's because the reason I'm not an Usher fan. To have all the pomp and circumstance that he had on, he had Ludacris on the stage with him. He had, who else? He had Alicia Keys on the stage with him. You know what I'm saying?
Kanye.
The whole, you know, Kanye, well, that wasn't Kanye West. Kanye West, when that was Will I Am, buddy. Everybody thought that was Kanye West. That's Will I Am from Black Eyed Peas. But
I thought he was out there too. I thought they both were.
Kanye West was there. He wasn't doing the performance. But like, no, man, I honestly thought Usher did a good job, man. People are just a little bit too hard.
Yeah, how about the girl that fell off the stage with the skates, and then the girl that fell down the stripper pole? I thought that was there's your moment for that. No, I thought overall it was good. So. No issues for me there. Let's see. We'll bring our guy on real quick. What's going on, Reg?
What's going on, buddy, man? Y'all kind of hard on Archer. He did a good show, man. Alicia Keys.
I'm not hard.
Good.
JB is.
Yes. Will I Am was pretty cool, you know. I mean, the best show ever was Michael Jackson. And then I also like the one where Diana flew in on the helicopter. Well, she left on the helicopter. So I got an appointment. They put on a helicopter and lift her out the stadium, and she left, you know. So that was a pretty good one also. But, you know, I'm partial to Penny and Janet Jackson. So, you know, the flash me, the little flash thing, you know, that was one of my better moments, even though Justin threw up under the bus, you know. But,
right.
Yeah, man, I lost my parlay. I didn't make any in-game bets. But I had took Kansas City and 1.5 points, and I took the over 47.5. And them bums scored 47. So they made me into a loser. I wasn't thinking about making in-game bets, which I should have did. I heard you just did that, Brandon. And
yeah. I tell you what, I had
like
somebody from Vegas direct message me on Twitter on Sunday afternoon, and I usually don't follow too much of those messages, the ones I get. But this guy, I went through all his tweets. He's like a major sports handicapper there in Vegas. And he sent me this thing. He's like, I'm going to give you, he's like, you talk about sports betting a lot on your Twitter account here and this and that and your sports show. He goes, I'm going to give you a winner here for you. I said, I messaged back. I was like, all right, what you got? And then he sent it to me because he does a service as well. But he sent me, he goes, put $300, $400, $500. He goes, put whatever. He goes, I'll give you, if you miss it, if this misses, I'll give you a 50% refund on it. And if not, then here's your free bet. I was like, holy shit. Like, okay, let's see what you got. Under 47.5. And the son of a bitch hit. And it hit. So I was messaging him back today.
But you didn't give me a heads up on that, huh?
No, I didn't give anybody a heads up on that. Except for the guys I was with.
Right.
We are
friends, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Nah, I can't tell. You're starting to act like that cot guy. That cot guy that ain't worth
jack.
Uh-oh. You know.
Don't be coming on here disrespecting no other colors, man. Hey,
man,
Reg,
I'm gonna tell you.
Reg, what'd you think about the Super Bowl overall?
I was impressed with the defense at the beginning of the game. I don't think Purdy said lost the game for him. He's a game manager, and he managed the game. The turnovers hurt. You know, on the opening drive, the fumble. On the kickoff, the ball hit the guy's ankle, the turnover. You know, you can't keep giving Mahomes chances like that because he's going to take advantage of them pretty soon, you know. And then, you know, Kelsey down and yelling at the coach, unprofessional, you know, just because Taylor's in the stands. I didn't care about that, you know. You know, I don't have nothing against Taylor Swift. You know, I mean, that's $1 billion. Shit, I would have to be there too. $1 billion. You know,
I'll tell you what, man. You know, if the NFL is a copycat league, and your team is set at quarterback, I think your next piece. I know people say, man, you got to get, you know, a complimentary wideout. I say you got to get a tight end, man.
Tight ends are hard. Now think about tight ends. There's not too many tight ends that get you there. Most of the time, wide receivers get you there. You know, Kittle.
But Kelsey, that's what I'll tell you. He's a tight end. Like, and I get it that he's special, but, like, I think the second most reliable person on the Chiefs, I know I ain't saying nothing except out of character, but it's Travis Kelce. He's the most reliable. Like, you know, if it's going to him, he's gonna catch it, one, secure it, and get yak. So if you can build a scheme like that, I'm talking to the coach. I don't know.
Kelce,
I know there's been about them going after a tight end, but they need to figure out tight end.
To me, wasn't the reason why they won. The other people are the reason they won. I mean, they had to double team Kelce, so yeah, I'll give him a little bit of credit. But the other people didn't drop passes that went to them. So you have tight ends that play like wide receivers. You have a Dallas Clark. You have a Gronk. You have tight ends that play like that. You have a Shannon Sharp. You have, you know, tight ends that can play. But overall, look at the amount of wide receivers. You're more likely to get a game-changing wide receiver before you get a game-changing tight end.
Well, 49ers got some good ones. I won't take that away from them. That's what kind of kept them in the game. The 49ers got some good wide receivers besides, you know, besides their running backs, you know what I mean, that are good at catching out the backfield too. You know, I think the 49ers are kind of back in the driver's seat as far as the NFC is concerned next year. They ain't got nothing to worry about.
I'm tired of hearing bang, bang, 49. I'm so glad they lost. I didn't have a dog in the fight. But if I wanted somebody to lose, I mean, you know, the Niners are starting to get on my nerves like the Steelers fans, like the Cowboys fans, like the Bears fans. They're starting to get on that kind of level with me, you know?
Well, they're getting ready to be a big trade that happened probably over in the summertime. And some teams are going to get shaken up. But I don't think it's going to be enough to knock off these two kings. I think the Kansas City Chiefs, they got to really play error-free football, man. They kind of got lucky. They are very good. But they also kind of got lucky, man. You know, the special teams on San Francisco 49ers is good. This is good as the special teams on Kansas City Chiefs. And if it wasn't for, like you said, some of those turnovers or that damn bad, that ball hit him in the leg, that's terrible. And he, you know what I'm saying? Like that turnover then, I don't know if the Kansas City Chiefs win that game. Look at that.
Yeah.
Look how short the field got because of that error.
Yeah. I mean, of course, yeah. But I heard y'all talking about the overtime. Everybody knows the overtime rules. They should know the game can't end in a tie. I mean, everybody knows the game can't end in a tie. It's the Super Bowl. It's the last game of the year. So, you know, I missed what you were saying about the clock, Brandon. But you really don't need the clock. You know, it's fourth down. Are you going to kick the field goal? Or are you going to go for the touchdown? Or what have you? And the next team get a chance to do what they need to do. You know, but, you know, I don't think that I like how the rules set up. Well, you know, the only thing they can do better, I think college has the best way set. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, it's a championship game. It cannot end in a tie. So, So I'm sure that dummy's going to call out to me. I'm sure this has been the best call ever. I'm glad to see I'm back in rotation. And, you know, you don't even have to take his call because he's – He said he was with for the 49ers, but on his list he had KC.
Would you be happy?
So, you know, you never know who that bum is cheering from.
Reggie, stop insulting you, buddy. But hey, I know you be take this out in the streets, man. Plexico Burris' son signed with the Irish.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, right.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Plexico Burris. Yeah, signed with the Irish.
Hey, I'm sorry, I dropped my phone in for a second. But my question is this.
Uh-oh.
For next year, how many Alabama fans are going to leave for the next best thing next year since Nick Saban's gone?
There ain't going to be no Roll Tide next year, man.
There ain't going to be none.
Hey,
them bums are going to be going to a new thing. They're going to be like James, man. They're going to bail out. Hey, and one last thing before you hang up on me. That Pacers loss last night pissed me off.
Man,
I know it was a different
me.
Hornets team and everything, but we've got
that
to win games like that. We've got to win games like that. We can't let stuff like that slide. We've got
they
to win games
to
like
rebound
that.
They couldn't rebound their way out of a wet paper bag last night.
They couldn't hit
bad.
A three. They couldn't hit a three worth jack. And I thought it was going to be our game the way Miles started off, but, hey, I was wrong.
Yeah.
But, hey, man, y'all know I enjoy the show as always,
man. They think like all-stars already. It's just all-star weekend. But that shouldn't have been an ugly loss.
But I enjoy your show, man, as always, man. Y'all have a good one. Later.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Reg.
Thanks for calling, Reg.
All right. That's Reggie Sykes, our guy. D. Kai, see you on hold, but with as long-winded as you are, you're going to have to wait. We have a call. We have our scheduled interview here in 10 minutes, so not gonna go back-to-back on that with and then not have her on because I know her time is precious, especially with Butler playing a game right now. John, how'd you get her away from Butler playing a game right now? Big game against Marquette.
Right. Remember, she's the host, man. So, you know, there's other people out there covering the game. They'll get it all together. We'll get that X and O's of that one too, man.
Man.
We'll figure it out.
It's already halftime, but still, oof. If it was me, I'd just tell you to kick rocks, especially with that kind of game going on. I'd say we'll get to it later. Anthony Richardson, John. Anthony Richardson's on pace, the Colts are saying. He's about 6-8 weeks ahead of schedule. Right now, he's starting to throw already, but it's 6-8 weeks ahead of schedule, they're saying, as of right now. So promising news for the Colts as the offseason kind of begins and you go towards the NFL Combine.
I mean, that's good news. There's a little – so, like, since we are talking off-field news, man, with the coach and the quarterback position, there's a little news talking about Gardner Minshew. He wants to come back and start. And I don't think – you know what I'm saying? There might be money there, Brandon, you know what I'm saying, for him to come to resign with the team, but I don't think there's a starting position for him at the start of the season. You know what I mean? So there's a little bit of, like, you know what I'm saying – well, who will the coach pick a quarterback, you know what I'm saying, in some of the latter rounds? The answer might be yes, you know. But that's good news that Anthony Richardson is, you know what I'm saying, getting full rehabilitation because the next thing for him, right, is to get reps, you know what I'm saying, with the offense and get back there on the field, all those things, so that, you know what I'm saying, the coach can see their full capability with him as a leader of the team.
Right.
I know, you know what I'm saying, you can't keep on holding your, you know what I'm saying, your Gardner Minshew hopes, man. Gardner Minshew is a backup quarterback that has dreams and aspirations of being a starter. Again, if he could just kind of, because I'm not saying Anthony Richardson, you know what I'm saying, that the Colts hope and the Colts fandom hopes that Anthony Richardson, you know what I'm saying, finishes, you know what I'm saying, the season, you know what I'm saying, you know, 16 games, 17 games in, for sure. Especially how this season ended, you know what I'm saying, where he only played, you know what I'm saying, barely five in and out. So, we've seen him, you know what I'm saying, how special he can be, you know what I'm saying, he's like a dynamic, you know what I'm saying, another running back that can throw, is crazy, but, you know what I'm saying, health-wise, the coach got to, you know what I'm saying, have him out there, so, you know, there might be no Gardner Minshew. It might be a backup that y'all kind of like, you know what I'm saying, the Colt fandom kind of falls in love, you know what I'm saying, that, you know what I'm saying, if he has to break glass in place, but like, you know what I'm saying, the coach is hoping that doesn't happen. You know what I'm saying? The coach is hoping that Anthony Richardson is their full-time starter going forward, and they want to see what that looks like. I said, what he looks like and with Jonathan Richardson, you know what I'm saying, with Jonathan Taylor and, like, what he's going to look like, you know what I'm saying, whatever, you know what I'm saying, draft picks they might bring in for the, you know what I'm saying, in the offseason. So, good news, y'all. But
okay.
I don't think Minshew's going to be here, bro.
Rumor starting to spread as, you know, we get close to the offseason going on and NFL Combine. Rumors talking, John, heating up, Justin Fields possible union with the Steelers. Arthur Smith and Field, I guess, had a really good over the past couple, like back when it was during the actual combine and afterwards with the Falcons. He ended up obviously going into the Bears. But Bears going to probably go Caleb Williams route. That means Fields will be on the move, and there's heavy interest for the Steelers, and Vegas has actually moved the odds for that. It was plus 1,400 before the news came out, and then now it's minus 150 as the favorite to go to Pittsburgh with Fields. So
That'd be big,
I don't think I'm against it.
Right. You can't be against it. You know what I mean? That'd be big splash. That's something that the Pittsburgh Steelers don't necessarily do, but they got to start thinking outside the box. So maybe they delve into that. They cannot be a team that is that good and can't score over 18 points.
Right.
So can you clean up? Come on, all right, let's put it on cards on the table, Brandon. Is Justin Fields a better quarterback than Kenny Pickett? Yes, I say. It's not a. Oh, man, he's three clicks and 10 steps away.
No, I think he's got more talent in that tool bag than what Pickett has. And that's kind of what you need.
Yeah. But like Kenny Pickett, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, dude, like, can you stay healthy? That's his deal. Okay.
Well, Fields as well. Can Fields stay healthy when he gets on the field? That's my concern.
Right. The second thing is, are you coming over in a trade or are you coming over in free agency? Because that's a little bit different. The Pittsburgh Steelers still got to address their left and right tackles, you know what I'm saying, just to get it stronger. I'm not saying it's terrible. But I don't have the stats in front of me. Pittsburgh wasn't at the bottom of sack quarterbacks this year. That's good, because they had three, you know what I mean, all this year. But, like,
no, I know.
Man,
I watched the whole season.
Is that going to cost you? So, like, if bringing in Justin Fields, is that going to cost you any type of money, so, you know what I'm saying, that you can't address? Otherwise, I would stay away from that, any type of trade. You see what I'm saying? You still got to address,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying, that. Outside of that, it sounds like it'd be like a pretty good mix. You know what I'm saying? Justin Fields in the Pittsburgh Steelers uniform.
Absolutely. I think you got the plethora of athleticism with, you know, with George Pickens and Deontay Johnson, Freiermuth as a safety tight end. We were just talking tight ends from the Super Bowl. So that would be that tight end for Justin Fields. And, you know, Arthur Smith, I think that also helps with him, with Fields being a running quarterback as well, that option style that helps. That Arthur Smith has a huge run game presence that he had when he was in Tennessee. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'd rather have, and I think everybody would, I would rather have Justin Fields in the Pittsburgh Steelers uniform than Ryan Tannehill. And I know Tannehill and Arthur Smith had that relationship down in Tennessee, but
right,
I would sleep better at night having Justin Fields over Tannehill. A starting quarterback that loses their job, they may start out all right, but we see how that's happened before, a la Mitch Trubisky, who just got released, a la Tannehill again when he got replaced. So I don't know if I want to go that route. And if you look at that division, you got Deshaun Watson, heavy passer, not really much of a runner anymore. Lamar Jackson, passer, runner. Burrow coming off an injury, passer, not much of a runner. And then what the Steelers have, you got Mason Rudolph, you got Kenny Pickett, both just regular passers, kind of that statue. And then you have, possibly if you can get Fields. So I'd be for it. It would have my stamp of approval. I mean, it'd be better than anything we saw last year. For it.
Right.
I mean, I should ask Sunday Ticket for my money back, because there's plenty of games I watched there. It was rough to watch. So that's here, neither here or there. So, yeah, good offseason. We got plenty more to talk about offseason-wise during the spring and summer and those dog days of summer. So we'll, besides those NBA groups and rankings that people get upset about that we do with your crazy rankings. So we also want to thank our sponsors real quick, Mavericks Custom Motorsports. We want to thank them. We wouldn't do this show without them, as well as Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. Without both of those guys, we would not be able to do our show. We don't be able to do what we do, bring it to you every single week, our extra shows that we do. And without them, we would not be here. We're actually coming up, John. I'm looking for a calendar right now in this office, and I don't see it. We're just about a month away, John, from our 7-year anniversary of the creation of Crossroads Sports. So about a month out from there, we'll have a special show for that. So looking forward to it. John, if you want to, looks like we got our special guest. If you want to do the introduction, we'll bring her on.
Crossroads Sports, everybody give a warm welcome to Eva Holland from the Butler Collegiate Dogcast. Please, welcome to the show.
Hi, Eva. How are you?
Hello. I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing well. Just recovering from the Super Bowl still. The longest game in history, and it felt like it. I looked at the clock and told my wife, I go, I can't believe it's like 11-something right now.
I know. It was past my bedtime. I had an 8 a.m. the next day, so I was like, ooh.
Well, Eva Holman, like I said, welcome to the show. I wanted to, so we gave a little bit of a background, before you kind of came on to the show, but I wanted to, kind of tell people, like, in your own words, I did tell them that, like you said, you are the host of the Butler Collegiate Dogcast, as well as, you're kind of interning right now with the Indy Fuel. Before we get into all that, tell us how you got to Butler in the first place. I ask this of everybody who comes onto the show that goes to a university. Like, how did they, partner up with that university? So how did you get to Butler in the first place?
So that's actually a really interesting story. I applied to Butler because it was College Go Week in Indiana. So, like, applying to colleges in Indiana was free. So I was like, obviously, I'm going to put my name in the hat. And the reason why I knew of Butler is because when Butler was in the March Madness brackets, my sister always picked them to win because of their mascot, because we have a bulldog, and then also because it has butt in the name. Like, that's literally the only reason why I know of Butler. So that's really funny. But I actually only applied to three colleges. My top choice was University of Central Florida, which is a big jump from Indiana. But they actually deferred me to the summer semester, and I didn't want to start in the summer. And then I didn't want to go to Michigan State because their broadcasting program was a little too new for me. And then I started to look into Butler and their internships and their professors. And like everyone says, I took one visit and I fell in love with it. So that's why I'm here at Butler.
Okay, cool. So how did you get – so, like, we met happenstance-wise. So, like, Brandon was supposed to go to the show – I mean, to your class that day. So, like, you have a class that you took, with Professor Boyd. And I know Professor Boyd from 100 years ago, right? Sorry, I'm 200 years old, right? So I know Professor Boyd.
Yeah, you're way older.
She asked me to come to y'all's class to talk about Crossroads Sports and, like, how me and Brandon kind of met and, like, and do the podcast every year. I mean, every week. Right, and I kind of told you that's how we met. So, like, how did you get athlete involved with the Butler Dogcast?
That's actually a great question. So, before my freshman semester here at Butler, I applied to be a reporter with the Butler Collegian. My first year, so my freshman year, I started off as a culture and multimedia reporter. And so I covered a lot of things like written. I learned a lot of good writing skills. But then transitioning into my sophomore year, I received a scholarship from the Indiana Broadcasters Association, which I love them. They're a really great organization here in Indiana. And they have an annual banquet, which is also in conjunction with the Indiana Association of School Broadcasters. And they had this award ceremony, and they had, like, best package, best vodcast, best podcast, best anchor. And I was like, hey, why isn't Butler competing in these events? Turns out we were a member of this association, but we haven't competed in 20 years. And I was like, it really drove and motivated me to kind of create, a new broadcasting system at Butler, because ever since we sold our radio station, maybe in the 80s, we've had no broadcasting or no really set television thing. So over the summer, I actually worked two jobs over the summer while also planning out the Dogcast. I was a midday news anchor and PM producer at a radio station in Fort Wayne, and I also worked at a news station in Fort Wayne. So I was really busy, but I was working endlessly on any spare minute on the Dogcast. So now the Dogcast is a biweekly vodcast podcast series. It's all made by Butler students. And actually, we have an episode coming out tomorrow morning. And it's just really amazing to see the progression of my freshman year. There's no broadcasting, and now there is something.
That's cool, because, John, it's back when you were in school. That was back in the black and white days of TV, back when Tom was in school. But when I was in school, John, like, I probably would have changed my major, like, going in, because I graduated from Ball State with sports administration degree. And, I mean, I could have, I guess, gone into communications and journalism-wise. I guess I really just initially liked sports, and I was like, let me just go sports administration route, and that can get me into wherever possibly. And the problem with that is the fact that everybody that's in their roles here in the state of Indiana, and you have to look outside, I obviously know that, but everybody's in the roles in the state of Indiana is like in it until, I hate to say it, they either retire or they die. One of the two. It seems like everybody's in the role. They don't give it up, whether it be a pro sports franchise or a minor league franchise or whatnot. And communication-wise, it was just starting to build up a little bit more at Ball State. My senior year is when they built the David Letterman building, and Letterman came back and did that thing in 2008. And now there's just so much potential that you could do within communications, within journalism nowadays, that wasn't around back then. And it's just, it's crazy. Over, that's over the last, what, 10 to 15, 20 years or so. And like what the next 15, 20 years in communications and journalism, what that could develop into. I feel like it's, we're moving fast through it. I mean, 20 years seems fast to me for what we've had and what we can do so far. And, you know, I've noticed it, and Eva, I'll have you speak on it as well. When I first had media credentials, and I usually speak to this, John, when we go to classes, when I'm there, it's kind of intimidating at first when you get your first ones or whatever, and you go there, and not everybody is always nice and happy. I mean, most people are, but nice and happy that you're there because they've worked their entire lives through school and this step and this step to get where they're at. And you have basically created a website, done a podcast show, and done this radio show. And then now you have a credential that, how dare you try to be where I'm at with this? So that was my experience with it. What's been yours, Eva? Hopefully it's been a lot better than mine. I mean, like I said, it's like a 5% thing I've had somebody do it and had a rough experience with. But how was your first experience when you first kind of got credentialed, kind of going to different things, the sporting events? Obviously, see it working out it from the opposite side with on the operations type of side out of there. But how has that experience been for you so far?
It's actually really interesting that you asked that, as there's a sports editor, Sarah Holman, and I, we both have media credentials for Butler men's basketball. And as I know, as I think that I know of, we're kind of the first female duo that's been doing things for Butler men's basketball. And I'm sitting on the sidelines. It's my second game. And I realize I am surrounded by men. And that's really okay for me. But I was receiving some, like, snarky comments by some of one of the reporters that was there, which it was really interesting to me because he was just really confused of why a student was there, let alone a female student. And he was like, oh, like, I didn't know that you would be into sports. And I was like, well, of course I'm into sports. Like, I mean, I go to Butler. I love men's basketball, you know, and this is what I want to do for my career. So that's actually been the only, like, negative experience I have. But with the Indy Fuel, the community has been amazing. You know,
okay.
I have a strong relationship with many of the players. They're really supportive. I have a great relationship with everyone in the front office. It's really just that interesting dynamic. You know, the Fuel's only 10 years old, and then, you know, Butler basketball has been along for a much, much more time. So just that interesting dynamic. Plus, I do most of the staff in the Fuel are female, so it's just also awesome to have all of them. But, no, I love being sidelined, and there's nowhere else I'd rather be than ringside at the Indy Fuel game.
Very nice. Yeah, I've enjoyed my experiences there a lot.
Yeah, I wanted to know, did you like hockey before the internship? Mm.
Yes. My biological father is from Toronto, so I grew up a huge Maple Leafs fan. And then, of course, during the great scoring run of the Blackhawks, I became a really big Blackhawks fan. And then hockey kind of died down for me, but then recently, like freshman year with the Indy Fuel, I really started to love hockey more. I grew up north of Fort Wayne, so I watched a lot of Fort Wayne Comets games with the CHL. I looked up to the broadcasters a lot, and most recently I getting into broadcasting with the Indy Fuel as well. So I'll actually be calling my first game with our play-by-play Andrew Smith here actually next week. So it's actually really exciting. So kind of grown my love of hockey.
Nice.
Wow.
So what
kind of happens on a Friday, Saturday night at the Indiana State Fairgrounds where the Fuel play at? Because, like, other than going to the fair, that's the only time I really probably go to I go to IUP. I take that back. I go to IUP. I have basketball games. You know what I'm saying? Because we have credentials for there. But, like, what is it like to experience an Indy Fuel game?
Oh, my gosh. They are so much fun. I'll just take you through Saturday for one. So Saturday, you know, I get there pretty early because, you know, I have a lot of things to do as an intern. But when it's game time, we actually had a sellout on Saturday. So there's over 6,000 people there at the fairgrounds. It was wizard night. So I dressed up as Hermione Granger from Harry Potter. And that was really fun. There was like an owl and a ferret and an armadillo there and a snake. It was really interesting. It was really fun. And then it was actually a sock toss night. So if you guys ever heard of a teddy bear toss, it's like that, but with socks. We donated them to those in need. And we actually collected over 6,000 socks, and it's when the Fuel scored their first goal. So that was, like, insane. There was, like, socks flying everywhere. I did get pelted, like, 3 times, but, you know, that's okay. and then we scored a lot. So, you know, the energy is, like, the crowd is insane. Like, there's just so, so much energy. And then it actually went into a shootout. So it was, like, the longest, craziest Indy Fuel hockey game ever. But then on Friday, we actually invited IndyCar driver David Malukas out to a game. And so we were doing content with him all day. There's a lot going on at Fuel games, but they're a blast. And I recommend anyone going to one. Even if you don't know hockey, you're probably guaranteed at least a fight and a goal. And, you know, that's pretty exciting in itself.
Heck yeah. I mean, the next home game is Friday, February 23rd against Wichita Thunder. Mm-hmm. John, I've been to several. I actually took my wife to her first NHL game back in December. We were at the Nashville Predators game against the Canucks. She loved it. I didn't know if she would like it or not, but she loved it. The only thing she hated was if she would have dressed a little bit warmer because of it being ice. So we bought a $45 Predators blanket now that we have here at the house that we have for mainly for the dog, but great experience. I love my times there. I've gone to a few different Blackhawk nights there in the past. I was there one with, I'm trying to think, gosh, why is his name slipping me now? Barry Melrose was there for a game a couple of years ago as well. Got to meet him, big hockey analyst guy for that. But yeah, it's a lot of fun there. I'm excited. I'm actually even more excited with the new, I was looking at pictures today online on Twitter. They posted the new stadium that's getting built up there in Fishers.
Oh, that's going to be amazing. And then we're getting the Fishers Freight IL team as well. So there's just going to be a lot going on in the new arena, but it certainly is going to be an update. And, it's going to be so cool. I just know it.
Eva, in the role of journalism and communications and being in sports, who are some of your role models that you've looked up to as you've started your career?
Oh, that's a great question. I remember how when I originally got into broadcasting, I always looked up to Robin Roberts. You know, my goal is to be on Good Morning America. And every single time I would watch Good Morning America, I would specifically watch her. And she's just been a really strong inspiration for me. But at the moment, anyone that I see on social media that's, you know, posting about, you know, what they're doing, or how they're growing as a broadcaster, those small journalists have even inspired me. Or even here at Butler, you know, our editor-in-chief, Allison, she is a senior and she's a journalism and German double major. And I've really just admired her because she didn't really want to go into journalism, but then she started to, and she's just a really fearless leader. And so, I mean, Robin Roberts is always going to be my big inspiration for life as a journalist. But I think just the small broadcasters I meet along the way, like Shane Alberati with the Fort Wayne Comets, he's really inspired me to go into play-by-play. So I have so many. But those are just the main ones I can think of.
I can't wait to see you out on the sidelines of the ice, man. I can't wait. Eva, we don't really want to take a whole lot of your time. I do want to know because, like, you have so much energy. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you go from being a student to being a host to chopping up, you know what I'm saying, videos. there ain't that much time in the day. But I do want you to give, if you're comfortable, if you give it out, you know what I'm saying, some of your follows, if you're comfortable with it. I know the Butler Dogcast is supposed to be for Butler students, but I enjoy watching it. I'm not a Butler student, but I enjoy watching it because I get all the updates on the lads. I don't want to name Aaron or whoever else, man. They're pretty good at giving out, you know what I'm saying, whether it's from Ultimate Frisbee. Brandon, they got, you know, the Butler got Ultimate Frisbee to soccer. I think Eva Hallman was on the sideline one time for volleyball. I just watched it for like sports updates. But please, before you leave, give us, like, you know what I'm saying, some of your socials.
Yes, so my socials personally are at On Air with Eva, and that's on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and that's where I post all of my broadcasting things. So we'll have stuff from the Fuel. Well, stuff from Wing 15. I actually made my broadcasting debut with them, and I'm going to return doing on-air work with them over the summer. And then stuff with the Collegian. But you can find the Collegian Dogcast and all Collegian stories online at the Butler Collegian. And you'll be able to hear our next episode that comes out tomorrow morning. It's also on Spotify, too, the Butler Collegian. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's usually where you can find my stuff or the Collegian stuff. And also on the Indie Fuel, I post majority of the TikToks and a lot of the social media posts and content. So if you ever want game day content, that's a great place to look.
Nice. Awesome. That is perfect. John, we'll have to get you on a Fuel TikTok one day at the game. We'll have to get you on there.
Absolutely.
It's going to happen.
Perfect. Eva, thank you for joining us. I know there's a Butler home game going on today, so thank you for joining us while that was going on. But we decided to follow you and have you back on here in the near future.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys have a great rest of your show.
All right.
Thank you. Bye. All right. That's Eva Holman. Like we said, John Butler, the Collegian, Indy Fuel. Exciting interview with her. Excited to see just where her career takes her. And like you said, you know, can't forget about us little people here, you know, and across
dude,
as she gets up there,
dude,
like you said, to Good Morning America.
I guarantee she gets Good Morning America. I guarantee you.
Yeah, for sure. Looking forward to that. So yeah, we'll have her on again, and you know, we'll talk more Fuel, and John, maybe that'll be our ticket in to get more with more Fuel action as well as with Butler. Man, we got declined how many times with Butler for credentials over the years?
Man, they love us. They secretly love us, man. They want to see how smart we are, man. That's why they, you know what I'm saying? It's all good.
Speaking of Butler down by six. 12 minutes to go. Butler down by six to number four Marquette, but hanging in there. By the way, happy Fat Tuesday, John. Today's Fat Tuesday. I totally spaced on that. Mardi Gras.
Let's get it started. Valentine's Day tomorrow. Let's get it started.
Look, I did see a report today that the it was talking about safety in the Circle City during NBA All-Star weekend, and there's a lot of NBA players, a lot of things that happen outside of basketball during the NBA All-Star weekend with the concerts and other things, unmentionables in this city. So hopefully everybody just stay safe, don't be stupid, keep your wallet near you. And things like that. So it's going to be a great, great weekend here at the NBA.
Yeah, keep your hands to yourself, man. The Circle City, listen, they got their own crime problems. We don't need nobody else coming up in here.
Right?
You know, they got Club Shay Shay. My man Shannon Sharp is arguing with Mike Epps. I don't know if it's staged. I don't know.
I saw that.
People take it for serious, man. They get charged by it, man. And, like, we don't need – everybody's coming out to the All-Star game. We don't need nobody to get us charged up. I guarantee you, people, I'm not saying black people, Brandon, I'm not saying white people, I'm not saying whoever. People want to, they want to be seen, they want, you know what I mean, this is a big time. This ain't been a turn up like this since the Super Bowl, the last time it was here, you know what I mean, how many years ago was that? So.
Are you going out downtown, man on the street?
I'll be around, I ain't going to be in the heart of downtown. I promise you that, I will not. I'll be around,
well, I will be
in the heart of downtown.
I'll be at the heart of downtown, man on the street interviews.
Right, I know you'd be the man on the street. If I see you, you know what I'm saying, I'll be moving fast, man. But like, man, people, just be smart, you know what I'm saying, be responsible, all those things. Understand that, you know what I'm saying, the next man, they're just trying to see, you know what I'm saying, a great experience just like you are. Everybody's trying to, you know what I'm saying, get home. That, you know what I mean? See something great and get home and talk about it the next day. Nobody wants to die.
We need to get JB, JB an exclusive interview with Stephen A. down here downtown.
Man, I don't
want
to talk to him. I got a list. I want to talk to Devils coach Joe Mazzulla. Because, like, man, he seems like an interesting cat. But, like, nah, man, I think All-Star, we're going to see all kind of sights. You know what I'm saying? We kind of talked about on the show this past Sunday. Anybody who had anything to do playing basketball, whether it was on a high school level, college level, you know what I'm saying, or professional level, is going to be out this weekend, man. I can't wait to interact and take pictures and all those things, man. It's going to be great.
Yep. Another anniversary item today, John, on this date, I think it was 30 years ago, John Chaney went after John Calipari. I'll kill you.
Oh, man, that's the anniversary?
Today.
Oh, my God. He's one of the great. I know. How could you say this, John, first off? How could you say this? Man, this is how bloodthirsty, cutthroat, like winning. This was the A-10. We ain't talking about no Big Ten championship here. We ain't talking about, you know what I'm saying? We ain't talking about no national. Talking about, you know, John Calipari earned his career. He's the head coach of UMass. And John Chaney was, you know, to deepen his coaching roots at Temple, man. We all know John Chaney intensified, personified, you know what I'm saying, always, man, demanding of his players. And we all know John Calipari. This ain't the big boat John Calipari, yo, y'all. You know what I'm saying? This is John Calipari and his, you know what I'm saying,
Marcus Camby start.
Well, Marcus Camby, there's a story behind that. This ain't big boat. Marcus Camby got some money to come on campus. These are just rumors. You know what I mean? They're probably facts. But you know what I mean? But John Calipari. But yeah, man, I gotta pull. That's a great video. Whatever happened, I can't even remember the circumstances. But like at the press conference, man, John Calipari is up there telling, you know, saying giving his normal, like, well, it was normal now, but like, you know, saying it was the beginning of his normal talking. That's like, you know, we play, my guys died. This is how you won or lost, dude. Step off. Nobody wants to hear the song and dance. But like, whatever happened, I think it might have had to be due with some fouling. John Chaney did not like it. I wish Deacon to call back in because I know he knows.
He's on hold. He's on hold.
John Chaney wasn't having it. John Chaney snapped. Like, granted, I don't know if you ever got mad at an employer. I have. I ain't gonna lie. Everybody knows this. I done got mad, but like, you shouldn't snap, crackle, and pop. And I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Now, you can snap, crackle, right? But you can't pop. Man, John Chaney snapped, crackle, and pop. He didn't care. And on live camera and TV, he told John Calipari gonna kill him over a game.
Right?
over a game, man. Like, hey, bro, we can't meet you back in the tournament. You know what I'm saying? But, like, man, he lost his for a little bit. But, like, afterwards, they laughed. Like, they shook hands and, you know what I'm saying? But whatever. It was kumbaya. But, like, man, for that moment, man, it got crazy. I'm going to have to find that tape and put it back out there because I love it.
Yeah. Today it's a great sound clip. One of the sports radio shows opens, and that's one of the highlight clips of, I'll kill you. I'm killing you. So, nowadays you'd have like a 30-game suspension and loss of recruits. You know,
oh man, he's got fired. He got fired.
Before we bring up D-Cott real quick, because we'll probably talk NBA with D-Cott. So go hit college real quick, John. Purdue, Indiana. We kind of talked about this a little bit on Sunday. Purdue 20-point victory. Zach Edey, as you call him, 3D, with the 3-pointer.
3D.
I use Big Dude, another possession of him not going down for a loose ball. And I told you on Sunday, that bench looked like they've packed it in for the rest of the season. They have looked like they have packed it in. Anthony Leal had a bad game. A lot of the guys they're ready to pack it in, man. They are ready, John. They're getting stumped by 20-something there. I thought they made a good first 3 minutes, and then it went to and Mike Woodson. What'd he do again? Well, he did what he didn't do. He did not make any changes. Zero game adjustments made at halftime. And they came back out thinking that they could just run the same style that they played in the first half and it was going to get them somewhere, and it did not. So with that, the Hoosiers take the L. Boilermakers carry on. Purdue did get some help with some Wisconsin losing and Illinois losing. So now
that's not good, Purdue. I'm not going to go too crazy scorched earth on IU. They are what they are. They're in bed with Mike Woodson for another year. If it was me, I'd bring in a coach in waiting on the sideline you know what I'm saying, and to kind of give whatever NIL support they had to get going out to getting the best players for the next three seasons. But that's what they got to look at for the next three seasons, not the next season. When you talk about Wisconsin losing, Brandon, this is it's still a feather in the cap to win the Big Ten, but this is a down year for the Big Ten. Michigan is not good, and you got a middling Wisconsin, and Minnesota and Iowa aren't good. So the normal six,
and Ohio
seven,
State's
eight,
not good.
Yeah, so the normal 6-7-8 teams that usually go from the Big Ten, they're not going this year. But being saying that though, Brandon, if you can get hot, if you are a busted, disgusted, rusted like IU team, and you can get hot and win the Big Ten tournament, or get you two wins, you might be able to get in. That's the only hope they have left right now, Brandon. You say pack it in. That's the only way that coaching staff can tell them. Like, if you want to extend, we have to. Not if you want to. We have to extend our season, and that is how we need to extend our season, because the Big Ten tournament is honestly a second season. They have talent. It's not like
right. They
don't have passion, and they don't play.
They have
chance. Yeah.
And
so that
it
is
starts with
their
next two games.
Their last chance, Lance. Yeah, that'd be their last chance, Lance.
They got right Northwestern there. And Nebraska both at home. And both of them are ahead of them in the standings. So they've got those two at home. They've got Wisconsin at home. They go to Penn State. They go to Maryland. They go to Minnesota. And they got Michigan State at the end. So there's a shot. But the body language that I saw on that bench, nah. Not at all. And it's troublesome for this conference. And this is not the IU team that 14-10, 6-7 of the conference that the Hoosier faithful all week that I've been hearing about has been upset with. Now, John, I spoke to you back when we did conference realignments for college football, and I said that March Madness is going to – what we've seen of March Madness is no longer going to exist at some point. It will implode, and it'll just be the power schools having their own tournament. There, we won't have the Cinderellas and all that stuff in these NCAA tournaments, and – these conferences now are going to be power hungry and all this. Well, it's officially started. The SEC, Big Ten, ACC, the Big 12, and somehow the Pac-12 has met with the NCAA on expanding
what?
Their wish to expand the NCAA tournament. And for every win you get in the NCAA tournament, that team gets more money from the NCAA. So it has begun where the money, the bigger
well,
teams to expand.
It doesn't need to.
They
expand.
Want to phase out the smaller schools.
Nah, man. I'm gonna scorch earth on that in a minute because they need the small schools.
Right?
I'm gonna be honest with you. The Purdue's of the world, they build off the small schools. I'm not saying they don't handle their business against Marquette. I'm not saying they don't handle their business against North Carolina, Arizona. They do. But you got to get 30 wins. You're not going to get no 30 wins if you say, hey, man, you got to go play Duke every other weekend. It's not going to happen. Or back and forth, man. The networks is full of crap.
Yeah.
The tournament doesn't even get bigger at all.
They're looking to expand from the 64 or even just go to more automatic qualifying spots for the Power 5 conferences and less for the non-Power 5 schools. Around the tournament deal, CBS and Turner are running through 2032. This NCAA distributes annually about $700 million to schools based on amounts and its units earned through advancing throughout the event. There's also belief that the 68 teams that make the tournament each year are not the 68 best teams in the nation, a belief that the Big 12 commissioner has referenced. I want to see the best teams competing for a national championship, no different than the Big Ten SEC wants to see in football.
No. That's not how the tournament is.
I'm not sure this is currently happening.
Man, who is he? Who said that, Sansky?
No. Yorkman from the Big 12, the commissioner, Brett Yorkman.
It's not about the best teams. It's about who can get in. That's baloney. That's not college football. That's not basketball. The tournament is about, all right, man, Larry fucking Bird, you got me cussing. Indiana State, since we talking about Indiana State, they finally got ranked 23rd this year, right? Cinder frickin' Rella. When Larry Bird, back in 1979, Who else was on the team that went pro? Don't nobody know. It was nobody. Larry, like, they stop it, man. You messing with that bounce, like, bro, like, you're going to make it unwatchable because, one, the Power Fives don't bring it every year. Where's Michigan at this year, Brandon Reif? In the toilet. Where's Wisconsin at? Yeah. Networks in the toilet. Don't tell me where's Kentucky at and how many losses they had in a row in the toilet. Hey, man, do not make college basketball the NBA. It doesn't work that way.
I'll continue the story. A host of smaller conference schools who fared poorly in non-conference games, winning their league gets NCAA tournament bids on a regular basis over Power 5 teams. Then again, there's still 36 at-large bids outside the 32 qualifiers. Quote, there's also concern about the watering down of the tournament with many teams with middling resumes also making the dance. Quote, at any rate, Dellinger called the expansion of the tournament inevitable and also said that commissioners called Baker, the NCAA guy, understanding and receptive to the point of the matter. ACC commissioner said, we believe that it's important and should be considered to expand the tournament for the larger conferences. That's the ACC commissioner.
Well, he wants to
told you,
because that's
dude. It's happening. We're done. The main NCAA tournament is dead. The small schools are going to be out, and it's going to be just the regular tournament.
But ACC needs that money. You see what I'm saying?
That was the Big 12.
They want to sell you. They're trying to sell you on Wake Forest, y'all. They're trying to sell you on. You know what I mean? Name me another tough ACC team. I can't think. Well, I ain't gonna say so. Well, damn, I was Sotomayor, they beat North Carolina. He started crying.
NC State. Boston College.
NC State. Boston College, man. You think Boston
North Carolina.
College right now is better? They ain't better than Indiana State. None of those three teams you just named is better than Indiana State right now. You want to knock off the small school? Stop it. None of
those
that
gets
better
you than fired up.
Right
that
now.
Came out 20 minutes before the show started tonight.
You want to knock off Butler? Butler went to the Final Four back-to-back? A small school like that? You want to leave that out? They're crazy.
I told you, John. I knew that was going to get you fired up, and it came out 20 minutes before the show. I said, uh-oh, I've got some firepower. Speaking of Indiana State, our guy Justin Powell even asked, will Indiana State make it? I hope they make it, John. They're 22-3. They're 13-1, but right now they are losing at home to the Illinois State Redbirds, 35-29 at halftime. So hopefully they can kind of get it going to start the second half for Indiana State, but they've got the only way to make yourself sure you're in, John, is to win the conference tournament. So I think they got to do that. That way they don't have to worry about trying to backdoor in. Cause right now they're on the resume. They're a 10 seed currently.
If they win the tournament, they get a little bit higher seed, I would assume. Right.
Yeah, but maybe nine at the highest, I'm thinking.
Yeah, because, like, the best thing they're going to get, you know what I'm saying, could they get a regional game somewhere?
And they need to make sure they're not – no, that's my biggest concern. If they get an 8 or a 9 seed and they have to play – and they play here in Indianapolis and they have to play
that'd
Purdue.
Awesome. Man, that sucked. That was fucked. That'd be a good game. It'd be a scary game for a first half, though. I think so. For Purdue.
Yeah. Yeah. Illinois State now, the second half started 2 minutes in. Illinois State's up by 10 now on the Sycamore. Sycamore's still 1.5-point favorites throughout, so I'm watching that line as it goes. We'll see what happens with that. We'll bring our guy on here. We got him on hold. D-Cop, what's going on?
Hey, not much, guys. I'm sitting here just chilling, man, listening to the great interview you all had. We got to definitely replay that over and over again. I'm captivated by the hockey talk. I just got to admit that. So JB, what you're talking about with the UMass and Temple thing was twofold. One was you were talking about the fouls, right? So what Chaney was upset about initially was about the aggressiveness that the cheater was using with his team, right? The second part of that, though, which is bigger, was he knew I won't say his name, but he was cheating as a coach at UMass. He was, and the Marcus Camby thing came up, right? So that was anger built up over time. That wasn't just the game. That was built up over time because he knew what was going on. Think about this, and most, you know, probably too young to remember, but Chaney had been at Temple for quite a while, and have been doing things, you know, the right way, building it up. And he sees this right. young guy coming in, this arrogant, this cocky, same arrogant, cocky guy he is today. Just the rules are bent better in his favor now than they were then. That's what he was upset about. But it's no different than that bully thug Iowa coach last night cussing and acting a fool when that young lady's up there talking. He just the difference is she didn't say she was going to kill anybody. But right. to that point, she was just as disrespectful, just as disingenuous. But nothing will be yeah. done. You know why? Because you got a young lady who shoots 40-foot threes and who's captivated the country. That's why. So I don't see it much different other than the death threat. You know, it was very disrespectful, more so to that young lady because that young lady's not recruiting for Nebraska. She's out there playing, mm-hmm. and if you look at that double take, she took a look at the coach, and I didn't see the video of the coach, but you can see that she looked like, what's wrong with her? So
right.
I hope that this gets as much press as the Cheney, and I understand it's the anniversary of Cheney, but that young lady last night was
disrespectful. They were able to laugh about it. They were able to laugh about it, like, after, you know what I'm saying, afterwards, man. They got pictures of, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. But that was a well beyond that, though, JB. That wasn't, like, the next week. That was some time. It took some time to be healed. So, yeah.
This is true. Right.
So, yeah.
This is true.
So I'll hit it at that. I'll leave it at that one, right? So I know you guys talked to the losers. Great following somebody who adds nothing to the program like Reggie Sykes. it makes my call a lot easier. So I definitely appreciate that. I did watch the Super Bowl. I was at my sister's house. You know, y'all saw the city. So we had a good time there. But the great thing about it was I didn't turn the volume up at all on the television. We listened to music the whole time. I didn't want to listen. I can't take Tony Romo. So that was good.
What?
Watching the game without bias is the best thing for me, right? So that was the best part about the game. Yeah, but I like watching from my own perspective. I don't like, you know, announcers of color people trying to guide you on what, you know, what they like. I want to watch it on what I like. So that was my deal there.
He's better than Boomer Esiason.
Listen, I'll give you he's better than all those guys. You're 100% right. but he babbles. It's sort of like I do, I guess, but he's paid millions and millions to babble. And I just don't like his bounce. He's such an expert, but he throws 19 interceptions in one season talking about how you have to be poised and put the ball in the right place. I just don't buy it.
That ain't happening. Like, well, he chopped up. When he look at tape or before tape, going to happen. When something happened, man, he said, this is what's going to happen. And it usually happens, man. So that's what I kind of respect about
But, JB, you got to equate it to the same thing when you're playing. He had an opportunity to watch tape then also. So that hasn't changed. As a matter of fact,
well, you got to be good though. You got to be that good.
That's my point. That's my point, right? Stop clock is right twice a day. I get it. That's not a lot of love for him, right? But the other thing I wanted to hit on really quickly was the Pacers. I think sent you guys a message. A couple things I paid attention to. And I noticed.
Listen, man. I don't want you to defend it. And it's not it's Carlisle's rotation, man. Because some nights Obi Toppin is
you know how I feel about Carlisle, man. Come on, that hasn't
changed.
Then
some nights, like he doesn't know who to play, when to play him, or like that you got to split. So like it's become like a question mark: who's gonna get the reserve minutes when it comes to that small forward position?
Well, my issue with that is this, right? Anytime, this is why I don't like listening to the television, especially Quinn Buckner. When you hear these guys talk about Rick Carlisle. Hall of Fame coach, future Hall of Fame coach Rick Carlisle, NBA title winner. That's all great, right? But that was 10-plus years ago. This is 2024, and you got to show me today. Don't show me, was it 2012 when they were in it? I think it was 11 or 12. Yeah, you're talking about 13 years ago. Sorry, man. I mean, at some point, your kudos got to go away after that point. You got to coach these guys up. The game's a much different game now, so not a big fan of his rotations. You know what I think about Isaiah Jackson. I think his minutes have been sporadic, and not just his, but other guys too. So I'm not a big fan of this all this love being showed in that way. They got to get it together. You can't take two losses against Charlotte, two losses against Portland, and one against the Bullets. That's five losses. I promise you, they're going to pay the price in April for that. That's five losses that you got to the five subpar teams, really, really subpar teams, and they're going to pay the price. And the way it looks based off of how Siakam is playing, I want him to be the difference-maker guy. I haven't seen it, and my fear is an eighth seed is going to put us in the what?
He's a better scorer than Bruce Brown. So when you look at that,
He's head and shoulders above Bruce Brown. To me, he's head and shoulders. But I want him to take over, man. I need him to take over. I appreciate him being a nice guy and all those things, but I need him to take over. And because if
I don't know
if
he come here to do that.
If he's going to call for $40 million a year, if he's calling for $40 million a year, JB, he's got to do more than be a complimentary player.
Right. Right.
Don't make $40 million a year.
You're allowed Miles.
No.
Because he's homegrown.
No. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wasn't that a song? Take the Money and Run, I think.
Yeah. I'm not knocking it. I think he's a wonderful player. But we can't have just a wonderful player. We have to have a difference-making player along
with Kyrie. Yeah, man. You can't Roy Hibbert this, bro. Ain't no Roy Hibbert
there, bro.
No more.
Yeah. That's tough for me, right? And I sent you guys a message on TH, those three things I talked about, right? He's too friendly with other players, man. I don't like it. He talks to all these guys. He's smiling and laughing. And I know the people on television, oh, look how happy he is. He's not smiling when we get our ass kicked in the fourth quarter. It's not happening. So
right.
I wish he was, would, you know, less, I guess, hobnob with the other players.
Right.
Yeah.
I kind of think it's a bad loss. I think the Charlotte loss is more of them thinking about what they kind of got cooked up going on for the All-Star weekend because it's in their home city.
These guys are worried about getting all the hoochie mamas to the game for the weekend.
Yeah, man.
They're worried about getting those tickets and all that stuff for people, the parties.
Yeah, but you know, that's why you got people for that, though, man. That's like guys with Super Bowl. That's not their job to do that. You should have all of them have agents, and all of them have lappies, right? So you got to have those people take care of that business. You got business.
Well, that's
for
those other organizations, not the Pacers.
Yeah,
the Pacers,
talent,
you got to do it on your own.
versus what Charlotte Hornets put out there yesterday, man. And they're not in a let's win now mode. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of unexcusable. So that in that regard, it's because. You know, you got tougher games in front of you than you have behind you. So
the season as it goes, as it unfolds, the second half is really not the second half, but after the All-Star break, they've got the fifth easiest schedule in the league. I think it's fourth, fifth, or sixth, one of those. They've got to make hay, and they got to play like they played against New York the other night. I'm not saying you're going to hit every big shot, but there was a fire in what the Pacers were playing against the Knicks based off of what had happened the week before that they didn't have last night. And granted, I got a new fire stick, so I had the TV down because I can't take Quinn Buckner either. So then the radio on the new Bally deal on my fire stick is a 1 minute delay. I can't take that much of a delay. So I just turn the television down and I just watch it on my own. So I'm not sure what Quinn Buckner's saying other than, he can't guard him. That's a foul, and I can live with that shot. I know he was saying those three things over and over and over again.
Another chicken.
It's just disappointing.
I love
the way they played last night. I hope they pick it up the next game. We'll see what happens. But I'm not disappointed in Siakam, but he as a $40 million guy, that's what he's looking for. He's got to be more aggressive, and he's got when TH is on the bench. Or when TH, like last night, wasn't hitting shots in that second half, he's got to take over and not worry about, you know, hey, I'm trying to fit in. You know, you're double-digit games. And I think that was game 16,
right.
I think, last night for him.
Can I tell you where I'm upset?
No more than fit in.
Why is the fact that we trade Buddy Hield and now he's averaging 23 a game? Three games, 20,
you know,
23, 24.
Well,
they can do a pull up jump shots now. Brandon. When the hell did that happen?
Right, Brandon. He's free, right? He's happy. He knew that he wasn't going to be a Pacer you know, next season. And, you know, you got to realize he got a lot of pressure taken off of him too. And listen, everybody says, and everybody I talk to talks about how good of a guy he is. I want him to be very successful. But with that said, he's had that albatross off of his back also. So he's right now with Embiid being gone now, there's no pressure on the players in Philadelphia to do great things, you know. So I hope Buddy Hield averages 25 a game and signs a massive deal next season. Absolutely do. He did well by the Pacers.
He got all of Joel shots.
Yeah, he's a good player. So, no, I don't, people are, oh, they shouldn't have traded. Well, Pacers aren't going to win a title this year anyway. They weren't going to be better than fourth seed anyway, right? So all this talk about, oh, that was such a huge mistake. If Buddy Hield was a putting you over the top player, let me see those posts on social media and let me see those clippings. Because no one talked about that until the trade happened. Now all of a sudden, revisionist history, oh, they shouldn't have traded him. So, again, I'm okay with it, man. Let the man be
free. We got
free
Nick Buckets
and he,
back.
Jonathan Birdsong's, what a scrub. Birdsong's Lakers did not make any moves at the trade deadline, John. I know you were upset about that.
I mean, I'm not mad. It was gonna cost Bronny, man. They still got scouting report on Bronny, man. They can't give up them picks, man.
No, that's not happening. You know. And,
I know
and let me tell you this. I'm glad you mentioned the Lakers, right? Because just like what 6 years ago, when the talk about PG going to the Lakers, PG's camp is creating these news articles about coming back to the Pacers, possibly going to this and this happening. I think I forget what team it was. In Philadelphia. I'm not buying this garbage, man. That's nothing but in my opinion or I believe that his camp is pushing this because he wants a mega deal in L.A. He's from that area. I think he wants a mega deal, and I think he wants to stay in L.A. because he sees what potentially could happen for they've got over the next right. 3 years. I don't think there's a snowball chance in hell he's in Indiana. I don't think there's a snowball chance in hell he's in Philadelphia. I don't buy.
No, I think it's all one-sided too. Pacers don't want that back here.
Yeah,
for sure.
If you're buying the PG thing, you're just a novice who just looks at clipping. There's
Reggie.
No way
right.
he wants those two cities.
Let me ask you this, Decott, because I put it out there for it was already out there, and then I said, let me share it because I know it'll get some traction.
Yeah.
Jermaine O'Neal is a top blank Pacer of all time.
You saw what I said, man. Listen. You saw what I said. I'll back up everything I said with regard to the Pacers franchise. We're not talking about talent. We're not talking about this guy was savvy. We're talking about just strictly talented. Probably the most talented Pacer that the Pacers have had was talent-wise. Probably Jonathan Bender and Clark Kellogg. Those two, and both of them succumbed to career-ending injuries that their
right.
bodies failed them. So, no, Jermaine O'Neal is not in the top 10. Talent-wise, potentially, yeah. But, no, not at all. I would take Rick Smith. And I gave you all the names.
I told you. Rick Smith over Jermaine O'Neal, man.
He quit on the Pacers. You know, Brandon, we can talk all this about.
We ain't going to talk about quitting on teams. We have other players quit on this team before as well.
We're talking talent and stats. You didn't say talent and stats, though. That's the thing.
Impact.
You didn't say that.
He's talking
impact.
About impact.
No, I'm
talking about somebody that, well, he got pissed off. No, period. Just flat out. Where are they at? Top 10 pace. Where are they at? Top blank Pacer of all time. Put it all together.
No, if we're putting it all together, no, he's not in the top 10 because he hasn't done for the city.
And you got kicked out of six too many times or seven too many times up to Broad Ripple, didn't you? He kicked you out.
No, you know what's funny? I don't do Broad Ripple. Brandon got him in his top 10, man.
I don't have him in the top 10.
I said he was in the top 10. It just see if Brandon feels it, he's going to strengthen that point. I get it, but I'm telling you now, from a Pacer perspective, based off of your question, he's not a top 10 Pacer. Off of your question, not
man,
mine.
Man, I might.
Off of your
I
question,
I might have. Man, I might have. I got Mark Jackson over him. Reggie Miller. Those are two right there.
Hey, listen,
Paul George.
We're talking
six-time All-Star, All-NBA second team, two-time All-NBA third team, most improved of the year. Doesn't mean shit.
Great.
13.7 rebounds a game.
Listen, it means a lot, Brandon. I'm not discounting the guy's talent. You got to hear me out.
Right.
I'm not discounting his talent. What your question was, an all-time pacer. No, he's not. Because you have to include everything. This man says, and he tried to take the high,
from the beginning.
Like take the high road. When it got tough, he says, well, you've got to trade me. I understand. He wanted out because it got difficult. Okay? And during that time, he wasn't the best pacer. Ron Artest was the best. You already had that issue. But Ron Artest was the best pacer.
Man, this man knows pacers, Brandon. He's telling you who the best pacer
was tough,
man.
He was tough as nails. He played ball on both ends of the court, and when he hit a shot, he didn't drop back like he just conquered the world. Yeah, very good player, very good player. But I mean,
hey,
and I know he
D-Cott,
had that one.
Me and Brandon,
D-Cott,
me and Brandon had a lesser argument off air, and I told him that I had Austin Crozier as a player.
That's a lie.
Who did I talk about?
Not that was an argument, but Austin Crozier there. That's just nonsense to me that you have Austin Crozier.
I'm with you there though.
I didn't have him over Jermaine O'Neal. Me and Brandon had Austin Crozier over like Travis Best. I had Austin Crozier over Travis Best.
We're talking collective though, Brandon. It was your question.
Yep.
We're talking collective, man. I can't put Jermaine O'Neal in the top 10 based off those names that I gave you, man. Those guys have given back to the city. I'm going to give you another name that I didn't throw out there. I mean, I did. Derek
Who's
McKee.
That?
I see him damn near at every Pacer game. He lives here. This guy gives back to the community. This guy is from from Meridian, Mississippi. Population about 10,000 people.
I really think about Derek McKee as a Seattle superstar. I remember him as a Seattle Supersonic, though, too. I got 50-50 memories of him, though.
Well, see, but maybe you were too young for that, JB. But I'm telling you, as a pacer, the man made a difference. The man made a difference, right? And he's continuing to make
a
difference.
Before he came here.
I know that. Believe me, the trade with Scottie Pippen, I know all that. But what I'm saying is he is continually give back to this city. He lives here. He's a resident of Indiana. And that's what I'm saying. You're talking about collective, right? The guy never embarrassed anybody. He played his butt off. Tell you what, since Brandon, this is your guy, ask Big Dog who was his toughest defender when he was in his peak. I guarantee
Brandon's
you he'll tell
favorite
you
pacer.
Derek McKee.
Brandon's
favorite
pacer. D-Cott, what's your assessment of Brandon's third favorite pacer is Sam Perkins, man. What do you think about his time?
No. Not close. Jesus.
I was just joking about
that. Jonathan Birdsong put Danny Granger in the top three of all time, which I thought was crazy.
Danny Granger and the Pacers got to be in the top six.
Listen, you know what we need to do? We need to have a side conversation. Because,
Danny Granger,
I saw you said that. I almost spit out my
Stella. I fired my assistant. She put down Drew, she's the one who made.
Aaron Holiday.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell?
She put Drew. She put Drew Holiday, little brother, on the paper,
and
it was a mess.
JB, that's what threw me off. I said, is he BSing something? I think, okay,
nah,
I got
Derek
a message,
Carlson,
JB, on this.
Hey man, Derek Carlson, I might have him over Jermaine.
See, I can't. No, he's not over Jermaine. Jermaine is solid. Top 10 to 15.
They never – hold on.
10 to 15.
They never should have traded Darren Collison. Yes or no?
Listen, I'm a fan of Darren Collison, by the way. That's the Tornado's real name, Darren. So, big fan of Darren Collison. I got an autographed picture of him. He signed for me when he was at UCLA.
They never should have traded him.
Great.
I hate him.
Very good player.
I hate him.
But
I found his wallet. I found his wallet. I found his wallet. It had $4,000 cash on it outside the Omni Hotel. I went to the – and we were able to get a hold of him. And for me to go take it to the Pacers practice place to give it to him, I go up in there, and they're like, yeah, just go up these stairs. You go to this elevator. I go up in there, and his assistant goes, no, we'll take it from here. Didn't even give no reward. Didn't say a word. Just turned around.
Oh, man. You know what? JB, hey, listen. Carlson just dropped on my list, man. You can't be a millionaire and do that. So, Darren Carlson now – Maybe top 75.
True story. That last time he was here in town for the Pacers, that's when it happened. I was at the Omni.
He'll be here, man. I'm like, hey, Ain't you? I'm gonna be like, ain't you a holiday, brother?
Are you guys interviewing anybody? Are you guys going down and doing any work?
We should.
If I run into anybody, I probably will. But it ain't.
John said he's too scared to go downtown during All Star Weekend.
Yeah, man. You know what, Brandon, I'm kind of with Dickie on that one, man. I've got a built-in, baked-in excuse this weekend. I told the wife, man, go ahead and bring all four little mamas over this weekend, man, so I don't have to deal with that, man. So I got an excuse. Hey, I would go out, guys, but my girls are here, man. I can't. I'm with you, JD.
Hey,
I'm not. No thanks.
Hey, John, let me – I'm on Bleacher Report, and this was as of 2013, when this came out August 23rd, 2013, ranking the top 25 players in Indiana Pacers history. This was back in 2013, so bear with me. We've had some changes in the last 9 years, or 11 years. Honorable mention, Michael Williams.
Michael Williams.
Michael Williams from Detroit?
Number 25. By the way, I told John, Pooh Richardson is somebody on our bucket list to get an interview with soon. So,
I'll tell you a story about Pooh Richardson. I'll tell you about when you get done, Brandon. I got to tell you a story, true story about Pooh Richardson.
All right. Number 25, Austin Crozier. Number 24, Byron Scott. 23, Al Harrington.
Baby Al.
22, Roy Hibbert. 21, Travis Best.
Travis Best over Hibbert?
Big shot Best, 99. Big
number
shot
20,
Best.
John Boosie. First starting point guard from NBA history. Number 19, Wayman Tisdale.
Shouldn't be there at all. He was too short of a time. We were a terrible franchise at that time. Good guy, but nah.
18, Steve Stepanovich.
University of Missouri, number 2 pick, University of Missouri. No thanks.
Yeah.
Number 17, Clark Kellogg. 16, Herb Williams.
That's way too low. Herbie, they put them together. Ohio
15,
State,
Derek McKee.
Wow.
14, Detlef Schrempf.
Schrempf.
13, Antonio Davis.
Brown didn't like
him. Tony Davis.
He should have fouled Larry Johnson.
Number 12.
I wish he wouldn't.
Jeff Foster.
Big Jeff.
11.
Antonio Davis? Wow.
Number 11,
Danny
Granger.
I'm okay with it.
Danny Granger, 11.
I told y'all.
You had him top three.
I said six.
More like 21.
Number 10. I don't like this one. Chris Mullin, number 10. Nah, not point three.
No, that ain't right.
Not even top 20. Not even top 20.
Jalen Rose, number 9.
Never. Better get good, Brandon. I'm getting mad.
Number 8, Billy Knight.
Hey, man.
Oh, that's too low.
Hey, man.
Man from Pittsburgh. Two five from Pittsburgh. That's too low. Silky smooth.
Number 7, John's boy, Vern Fleming.
Vern still lives here, too. And his brother, Victor, by the way. So,
Go ahead.
Number 6, Chuck Person. Number 5, Mark Jackson. Number 4, Dale Davis. Number 3, Rick Smits. Number 2, Jermaine O'Neal. And number 1, obviously, Reggie Miller. That was a 2013 list.
So Jordan McGinnis is not on the list at all.
This is terrible.
Nope.
Let me share.
You didn't even make honorable mention.
This is why the national publication should not be allowed to have a legitimate story like that don't know the history.
That's ridiculous.
How
are you going to have Billy Knight on there and not have Billy Keller?
Not have
George McGinnis.
JB, because they don't know. That's why. That's why you don't give any credit or credence to these type of
polls. Ridiculous.
This poll, matter of fact, Brandon, can you please send me that? I want to have a field day over the next couple of days. Please send me that.
Yeah. I'm trying to read what it says. Since the team broke into the NBA ranks in 76, it's featured assortment of players. For the purpose of this article, we'll limit the scope to the team's NBA history, not the ABA. As much as we've loved and recognized the stellar play of McGinnis, Brown, and Daniels, they belong primarily to the ABA era, where they made a huge name for themselves. Will also only consider the Pacers their first play for the franchise in 2008 and earlier. Also premature right now for David West and Paul George, some of Indy's best of all time.
Right.
That being said, additionally, all those with serious on-court and off-court issues won't be included. So don't expect to see names
I'm
like
okay.
Jamal Tinsley, Steven Jackson, or Ron Artest.
I'm okay with those first two. But Ron Artest was a player for us. Those other two were just lappy. So again, send that to me. I want to chew that one up and spit it out for sure. But let me tell you the story about Pooh Richardson. This is back in 90 when he and Sam were traded from Minnesota for Chuck Person back. I want to say 94 or 93. Pooh Richardson was a customer of mine. I worked rent to own back then. He got a washer and dryer because he didn't know how long he was going to be here. He lived at their 54th and Emerson in those condos. And, JB, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Going towards Fall Creek on the left-hand side. You're going north. That's where he lived, right? I delivered by myself a washer and dryer to him. One of the nicest guys you ever want to meet. And here's what he told me. He said him and his high school friend that grew up in Philadelphia, they agreed that whoever made it big would be the other guy's business manager. This was before Bron. So I can't remember his best friend's name, but he was his business manager the whole time he was in the NBA. The reason why he left here in Indiana was he and Larry Brown hated each other. Larry Brown rode him like a pit bull, right? And
yeah,
I
Larry Brown was hard on offensively minded players. That's why he ran off Dennis Schroeder in the trade, and they brought in
Real true, man. Yeah, real true story. One of the nicest humans. The guy was pleasant, always nice, always accommodating. He never remembered to make his payment, so I always made the excuse because I would go to my mom at 34th and Emerson. I would go out to his place and get the payment from him. Nicest guy in the world, man. Real talk, man. So, yeah, that's my Pooh Richardson story. Real story.
Nice. Off the air, John did say honorable mention, top 12, he did tell me, he had Brad Miller top 12, honorable mention.
Oh, Lord. You see, here we go. See, you know, you know what? We three, minus Reggie, we need to have a conversation about it. JB was fired up a little earlier. I'm fired up about this Pacer thing because you cannot have a Pacer all-timer without Big Mac, Mel Daniels. No. I understand it's NBA, ABA. Mel Daniels, Freddie.
So I'm on this other one right now. It's called Ranker.com. There's one called Ranker.com. And you just go in there and vote, and based off votings, if they go up and down the list, but they have a Pacers of all time one. They've got Reggie at one, Paul George at two, O'Neal at three, McGinnis at four, Tyrese at five, Smith at six, Oladipo at seven, Painter at eight, Mel Daniels at nine, Jackson at 10.
He just said
Oladipo could be over. You know,
Oladipo
is other character.
And Jermaine O'Neal before George McGinnis. Those are novices. They call them casuals, right? That's what they call them now. Those
Gotta
are
be.
Casuals. It needs to be real. You need to take a test, right, on your Pacers knowledge before you do this, because that's ridiculous.
I just took a vote.
I just took a vote
to move somebody up. And moved them up.
Send me that where it is, man, because I'm going to vote about 9,000 times tonight.
They got Tyrese in the top five. Already. That's crazy.
Tyrese, top five already.
Hey, real talk, and you know, I know we've been talking
about IBR.
I know you. Here we go with this. Hey, what
you gonna do with, you know, Travis Deaner?
You
know what I'm saying? What you gonna do with, you know,
Dunleavy?
We gotta have. Hey, we gonna do Dunleavy? Hey, why don't we go ahead and do Brandon? What about Brandon? What's his name? His brother went to Missouri.
Brandon Rush
played for the Lakers. Brandon Rush, yeah.
Yeah, we had all the Rush brothers.
Top 75.
Who's that?
Brandon Rush.
Marcus Morris, top 80. He played with our team for like 2 minutes.
John Williams.
And by
John,
the way,
you said he had Drew Bynum.
Oh, Lord have mercy. This is ridiculous. So we're going really crazy now. So since we're talking about, you know, jumping on and off the bandwagon, I heard what y'all said earlier about the Bama thing. No worries. I got my new Bama gear coming up in the summer, so I'll have new Bama gear. I ain't going anywhere. We'll be talking during the season It's going to be a bit of a challenge, but let's see what happens. The playing field's even.
I think Clemson.
Now,
I think it comes down. I don't know. My preseason number one and number two has got to be Ohio State and Clemson.
Listen, Ohio State, if they don't win it, the whole coaching staff is going to get fired.
Damn. He said the whole coaching
staff. They have to. You got the best holdover from Bama. You got the quarterback Dylan, who was number one pro style. However, he's a little small, sort of Bryce-like to me. They paid a lot of money to these players. Rumor has it $1.5 million to my man Cale Down. He was making $650 at Bama. Why wouldn't you leave? 1.5. That's the rumor.
They really want to win the national championship.
Nick took all his money.
Yeah. But I know that he wanted to double his money. He wanted 1.1. was down in T-town. But if he got 1.5, man, how the hell can I begrudge this guy for getting 1.5? Are you kidding me, man? Get your money, cash those checks.
Here's what I'll say: if the homie can ever get a quarterback in Penn State, he'll have a seat at the table for real.
Does he like quarterbacks? I don't think he likes quarterbacks, JB.
He's been there for
8 years, right?
Man, he got the defense.
Yeah, man. I got a feeling. What I feel is that he doesn't have an eye for quarterbacks. And I'm gonna tell you this:
right.
when O'Brien first left, when it was talking about him leaving New England, my first thought was he's going back to Penn State to be the OC. And then they did the Ohio State thing. But here's the deal: Bill O'Brien has a special needs son that's in school on the East Coast. And that's why when the BC job came up, it was a no-brainer. That's why he has a special needs son.
Man. So it's good stuff, man. Everybody get fired. There you go. Everybody get fired.
Listen, there's a lot of money paid out, man, to not be a champion. So they've got to be the favorites. They should be the favorites. And I hope they win because I want those players. Because if they don't win, the abuse those players got in Bama, Jalen Milroe and Fields guys, it's going to be three times as bad in Ohio State. So I'm okay with them guys winning, man, because they got a lot of money invested in those players. So we'll see what happens. And on top of that, they took the world's worst center in college football last year. So maybe that's a little bit of karma coming their way. We'll see what happens.
All right, Decott, appreciate you.
Yeah. Appreciate you guys. Don't forget, Brandon, send me those links, man. I really want to attack some people on that. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yep.
You guys be safe. Take care of yourselves, all right?
Thanks for calling in. Happy All-Star,
all right. Yeah. That's Decott. Indiana State down 2 with 6 minutes to go.
Uh-oh.
And get down back. 4 now. Illinois State with another bucket. You know who's on the Illinois State sideline, don't you? The assistant coach.
Double D. Little son, Double D.
Double D's little son.
But Indiana State needs it more. They need it more.
Decott got off the hook. I didn't give him any IU slander this week, so he off the hook with that.
They got enough slander going on the floor, man. They don't need you to talk about this.
JB, I don't have anything else, man. If you want to wrap.
No, man, I thought we had a great show, man. I know we're short of time, but I wanted to say thank you to our guests for calling in. Host of the Dogcast, Butler Collegiate Dogcast, Eva Hallman. She wears so many hats, it'll drive you crazy, man, if you just typecast her as the host of the Dogcast. Like I said, she'll be out there, you know what I'm saying, sidelining, reporting. I can't wait to see it at the Indy Fuel Games as well, man. I'm going to deep dive in that, start sharing some of that content on the story as well, man. Because I kind of got a little fascination with hockey. And I know we really don't talk about it, you know what I'm saying, from an NHL standpoint, but, you know, we'll talk about it for darn sure coming up. Now we have our eyes and ears with our homie Eva. And, you know what I'm saying, we can just tap into it. You know what I'm saying? We can get up for media credentials our damn selves, right? But, man, I think we had a great show tonight. We want to say thanks to Uncle Reg and Uncle Decott for calling in. They're always, you know what I'm saying, a great cast of characters, man. I want to say thank you to everybody for chiming in on Facebook Live. Thanks for everybody, you know what I'm saying, for retweeting it or liking or chiming in on Twitter as well. You can follow me and Brandon Reef at Crossroads Sports. You can follow Brandon Reef at Brandon Reef, man. He also has some great betting sports tips, you know what I'm saying, for you, degenerate gamblers out there, you know what I'm saying. You can also follow me at Three Foolish Men for any other snarkiness about sports, the government, or Marvel Entertainment. I'm your guy. You know what I'm saying? Or any type of, like, you know what I'm saying, wars I might be having with or Dan Dockers or whoever else for that particular day. But, nah, man, we had a great show, a lot of great content tonight, man. We're going to come back next week bigger and better than ever, I guarantee you. And here in Indy, man, we got to go through NBA All-Star Weekend, man. So we'll have more to talk about that as well, man. With that being said, I want to say thank you to our sponsor, Scott King Nichols, State Farm Insurance. I want to say thank you to Mavis Custom Motorsports. How could we do the Crossroads Sports Show without them? That being said, I know we run a short of time. I am Jonathan Burson. That has been Brandon Reese. Next time, you call in at 9. Next time, I say this every at the end of the show, man, and then still, man. I have seen some new people kind of chime in at Facebook Live, but I ain't heard some new calls, man. But next time, you need to call in at 929-477-3331. We'd love to hear from you. Call in about your sports team. We talk more than just Colts. We talk more than just Pacers. We talk more than just Steelers. We talk all sports and all teams from every, you know, saying from all the sports league. Hell, this week we didn't even talk about all the daggone WWE and drama and whatnot. But that'll be another day for another sports conversation for another time. Like I said, I'm running short of time. It's been a great episode number 288 has been incredible and another instant classic, man. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.